This morning, we continue again in our series of walking through the story of the Bible. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, that's okay. You'll still be able to understand where we're going. Because each individual Bible story has a lesson for us. But what I want us to understand is, as we read God's Word and as we look at it this morning, is that it all ties into a bigger story. The bigger story is God's relentless pursuit of us. The story of God building a kingdom, which is being built already here on earth, which will come to its final culmination when we enter into the new kingdom or the new heaven and the new earth. And we pick up on part of that story this morning. Our Bible reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. The challenge for us this morning is to finish the race strong. Now, I'm not a runner, but I have talked to a few runners this week. And if you are going to run a race, you don't bolt out of the running gate unless you're doing the 100-meter dash. But you begin to look at the race with the end perspective in mind. So you are going to start off in the middle of the pack. You are going to continue to run with the middle of the pack for most of the race. And at one point, probably halfway through, you are going to start to expel some energy. You're going to move closer to the front of the pack, and you're going to hold and maintain that stride and that pace for a large majority of the race. And then, like any good runner knows, you are going to save something which I'm told is called the kick. And shortly before the race is over, you're going to expel that last little bit of energy that you're going to be able to run across the finish line with just as much strength as when you started the race. Now you gotta wonder what I'm talking about, right? How does that tie into Asa? Well, we all are running a race. The race that you and I are running is not a race for a medal. It's not a 100-meter dash, but it's a race called a marathon. It's the race of life. And each and every one of us is running that race. Here's the question. We're all going to finish the race, but are we going to finish the race strong? This morning, our passage says, as Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. We've already been through Solomon. There has been a fighting for position, you could say. And now Israel begins to have this big tension. There is this fight, and the kingdom is split in two. The north is called Israel, or Ephraim. And the south kingdom is called Judah. King Asa is the third king that is going to lead Judah. He's the fifth king that comes from the house and the line of David. Asa is going to rule for about 41 years, from about 913 BC to roughly 869, 873. Somewhere scholars agree that that's his reign. He was a good king. He was a king who brought peace and stability to it. Asa comes in, and things politically are going well. Much like during the time of Solomon, financially they are doing well. Militarily, much like during the time of Solomon, things are good. His popularity would be good. Nothing was coming out in the Toronto Star or the National Post that's going to bring his popularity down. And so he begins. Asa's running well when it comes to the issue of idolatry. You'll remember, during the time of Solomon, he married many wives. He was considered to be one of the wisest men that ever lived. But he married Canaanite women and Moabite women. And some of them brought the Ashtaroth. You'll remember last week, one of them worshiped the god of Moloch. You'll remember from the picture that during the harvest time, they wanted a great harvest. They would put a child in the arms of Moloch, and he would get dropped into the fire as an offering, hoping that the harvest would be good. The idols were all over the place. And Asa comes in and he wants to be faithful to God. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I think of that idea. Up on the hilltop, where often where the altars were made not only to God, but that altar was lying in ruins. And the altars to all the other gods were on top of the high places, and many of the people were worshiping. And I want us to pause there for a moment, because it's easy to look at the passage and say, yeah, we don't do that. But I want us to think this morning of the idols in our own world. Maybe this morning for us, that idol is a person that we sacrifice whatever it is so that we can worship a person, that they can elevate them to a status, that they become our absolute and our sole priority and focus. More likely in our North American culture, it is the almighty dollar. That we worship the dollar, that we'll do whatever it takes, that we'll sacrifice whatever it is just to have more. Or maybe that idol is position or power or our job. And Asa is so committed to doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord that he goes up into the high places or the hilltops where all of these idols were. And he begins to destroy them. Not only does he destroy the idols, but he rebuilds the altar of the Lord. And then he does something which is crazy. His grandmother, the queen mom, she worshipped the Ashtaroth. And he kicks her out of any position. He disciplines her. Can you picture it in a modern day context this morning? Prince William becomes the king. Charles is gone. Elizabeth is still around. And he says, Elizabeth, could you imagine what would happen in Britain? The same thing happens in Judah. People are going crazy at what he's doing. So he gets rid of the queen mom. He rebuilds the altar of the Lord. And then he says to Judah, seek the Lord. And they do. And during those years, he had no war, for the Lord had given him peace. And so they began to build, and Judah prospered. But now comes another issue for King Asa. And it's, what do you do? Well, what does Asa do when the battles and the storms and the difficulties of life come? It's one thing to seek the Lord and be faithful when life is going well. But what happens when the turmoil and the struggles and the difficulties of life begin to soak into our story? Well, he has that. Asa has an army of 300,000 from Judah. There's a battle that's pending. And 280,000 men from Judah. But Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,300,000 chariots. What are the odds? 580,000. Easy math, let's just make it 500. Compared to 1,000,000, an army double the size and 300 chariots. It was unlikely he was going to beat the Ethiopians. And if you follow the passage a little bit farther, here's what you're going to hear. 10 times he refers to God. 3 times he refers to the people of Judah. His heart is so relentless in being faithful to God that he's challenging the people not only to dedicate themselves, but this battle really belongs to God. And so Asa cries out to his God, "O Lord, there is none like you. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you. O Lord, you are our God." Now catch this part. "Let men prevail, not prevail against you." Not against us, but against you. Asa was smart enough to know that the attack on the people of God was an attack on God himself. To make a long story short, Asa goes into battle, outmanned, and significantly and easily wins the battle. God sent him a message. "Stick with me and I will be faithful. Stick with me when things are difficult and I will give you understanding." And all of Judah agreed to stick with God and seek God with all of their heart. And I begin to think of Asa's story in light of our own story. We're not going up in a battle against an army. But we do face those battles, don't we? We face the battle with our health. Maybe physically or emotionally. We face those battles of discouragement. We face the battle where we wrestle with our faith. We wrestle with, you can fill in the battle for yourself this morning. Asa gives us the challenge to seek God. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. You know, one of the best things you and I can do is, when life is going well, to begin to write down the moments where God is showing up. Maybe this morning, God has shown up to you in a person, a word, a miraculous event. But maybe it's as simple as somebody giving us a word of encouragement. Somebody wisely said, if we don't seek God when life is going well, we're not going to seek him when life is difficult. And we all face those moments on the road. The question is, are we going to call out to God? The early hearers understood it. They understood it not only in the time of difficulty, but also in understanding God's word. The ancient Jewish people, they would write it. They would bear it on their forehead. They would talk about the things of God when they sat and when they rose, when they were together. So that they would remember the story of God. And because the story of God is so entrenched on our being, that when the difficulties come in life, we will be able to hold on to faith. And so Asa is doing well in the race of faith. The heart of Asa was true all of his days. And there was no more war, catch it, until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now, I suspect you're expecting a turn in the story. Somewhere between year 15, 16, and year 35, something happened to Asa. He stopped listening. He stopped calling out on the name of the Lord. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened, but it did. And he no longer wanted to follow the ways of God. And I want us to think about that in the light of the race of faith. Because maybe not for you, but maybe for one of our family members, we understand that there are moments where we or our loved ones stop running. There are moments where we stop praying. We stop reading the Word of God. We stop seeking his counsel. And then we stop coming to church. And we stop getting involved in the things of the kingdom. And then before we know it, we don't even inquire of God anymore. And then a year later, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasa of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. What? I mean, was God punishing him now? Was God really cold and vindictive and cruel simply because he stopped loving him? God was going to get even? Absolutely not. Was God trying to test him? Absolutely not. But quite possibly when we read this text, we need to understand the story of the God who showed up over and over and over and over again, was giving Asa the opportunity to get back into the race. To return to the moment where he had said before, as for me and Judah, we will seek the Lord. And I tell you why I think that. Because he sends Hananiah the seer to see him. And Hananiah begins to restore the miraculous victories and times when God came into Asa's story. And God showed up. Follow Holmes' logic for a moment. He said, here is Asa. He's faced with a disaster. Mathematically, things didn't look good. King Bashan is about 6 miles away. He's well within striking distance of taking down the people of Judah. And so Asa goes and he strips the temple of all of its gold and all of its silver. He goes into the temple or the king's reserve and he pulls out all the resources he can. And he sends it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, with these words. Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with the king Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. Then he took the silver and gold from the treasure and the house of the Lord and sent them to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, saying, go break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me. And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And when Baasha heard of it, he withdrew. But Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa and said, because you relied on king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of king of Syria has escaped you. Do you notice something that's missing in our story? Remember what has happened before? Oh Lord, no one but you can escape the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you alone. 25 years earlier, that was his prayer. And God had given them victory over the Ethiopians. Where was the "we trust in God alone"? Asa has gone on a detour in the race of not only life, but faith. And in those words of Hananiah the seer, I want us to pause for a moment, because we all know people that are on different side bars to the race of faith. And I think there's a message in there for the church. Because so often we could simply say, what are you doing? How could you be so foolish? But isn't it here that the aces of the world need not to be judged or looked down on, but to be loved? Isn't it here that the aces of the world need Judah, that needs the church to walk with them? Isn't it here that Asa needs the elders and the priests to come along and pray for and pray with Asa? I think it's here that God is inviting you and I to pause and to surrender and to reaffirm that statement that Asa made from the beginning. We will make a covenant that we will walk with you, O God. It's here that I love two of our church's statements that guide us. One is this, is that we want to be a people that are on fire with the love of God and a people of prayer. What a great statement for us that's lived out as we seek God together, as we relentlessly pursue those on the fringes of the church. And then there's that second statement, which is this. We want to be a place of hope and healing and inspiration. What a wonderful opportunity for those that we know, maybe for us this morning, to come to the place of grace, to be loved, to be encouraged, to be walked with in the story of faith. It was interesting, before you, many of you arrived, some of us were praying upstairs, and unbeknownst to the group, today was a day where we asked for some names of family members that are struggling in their walk of faith, or maybe aren't walking with faith. And we were upstairs, and we were praying over that very thing this morning, and nobody on the prayer group knew that we were going to be talking about this morning, and it's amazing how God works. Because that is a wonderful opportunity for us as the church. King Asa continued to put his trust in another king. Here's what it says. Ben-Hadad agreed to the king's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Makkah, and all the store cities in Naphtali. But soon, as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all work on it. Then King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had brought or been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. All seems to be going well again. But then the seer comes back on. Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and the vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. What do you do with it? What do you do with this passage? Asa doesn't finish the race of life well. But there is an invitation for you and I this morning to finish the race well. No matter where you are in the journey, if you go to the Bible and you go to the book of Hebrews, there's a passage in chapter 11. People often call it the Hall of Fame of biblical heroes. But their stories are no different than your story and my story. Think of Abraham and Sarah, who were well advanced in years, and they were told that they have children as numerous as the stars. And they doubted. But the Bible says, by faith, Abraham finished the race well. Think of David. David is the guy who committed adultery and he murdered the woman's husband. But the story goes on and it says, by faith, David. Think of Rahab the prostitute. And the story comes out and it said, by faith. And by faith, God is inviting you and I this morning to finish the race well. To finish the race well, he invites us to get rid of those things that weigh us down, that cause us to struggle. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's belief that God's grace is enough. Maybe it's fear. Whatever it is for you this morning in the story of faith, God is inviting us to lay it down so that you can run freely, that you can run in his power and in his strength and in his might. And I want to leave you with three things as we wrap up. The first is this: remember what God has done. If your memory is short, write down all the ways that God has shown up in your story. Put it on your bathroom, clip it in your car, put it on your phone. Most of us are on our phones a lot, so every time you pick up your phone, all the ways that God has shown up in your story are there. So when those moments that are difficult and struggle, when we're discouraged, when we feel that we're going off on the wrong way of life, we can remember those moments and recommit in that moment back to the story of God. The second is this: seek God and you will find him. Seek God and he will show up in ways that you could never imagine. And the third thing is this: remember grace. Remember that we serve a God of grace, which is evidence in what we're about to celebrate this morning. That he was so willing to give your life for you and me that we can have it abundantly. Remember grace when you go off track. Remember grace when you fall. Remember that his grace is sufficient for you. And that you can pick up and you can get back into the race of faith. And that you can finish it well. Because God so loves you. And he desires to have that intimate personal relationship from you. Already from the moment he created the earth. He created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with. God so loved you that he came and he gave his life. God so loved you that he poured out his spirit. God so loved you that he ascended into heaven. And God so loved you that even at this very moment, he is preparing the new heaven and the new earth for you and I, that we can live with him forever. Remember the promises of God. Seek him. And remember grace. And together, let's run. And let's run with passion. Until we reach that finish line. The finish line, the day when he calls us home to be with him forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the story of faith. This morning, as some of us this morning already did, we want to briefly do this morning. And realize, Lord, that as we look at a kingdom that has been torn in two, we also are very well aware of our loved ones, Lord, who have given up running the race of faith, or whose hearts have no interest in hearing the story of faith. Lord, I pray that we would be a picture of grace in action. That we would be a picture of hope, of inspiration. That we would be an example of what people under repair look like. And that, Lord, that you would soften hearts. That you would create opportunities for the door to be open to tell of your amazing goodness. And that we could love on. Not preach to, but love on our neighbors, our friends, our family members that simply need to hear the story of grace. We thank you how we get to do that through the programs of this church. And Lord, as we open the doors again this week, we pray that we would live out that story. And as we interact with young people, Lord, this week through many of our programs, that we would remember grace and that the story of what you are continuing to do within us would flow freely from our lips. We want to thank you for how we're doing that as we partner with Phil and Janetta. And Lord, we pray that you would be with their work in Tanzania. that you would use them in their work of agriculture and medicine, that you would use them to tell the story of the good news of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for how we can live out our faith in declaring our love. And Lord, we want to think of the gift of love as we think of Emily and Matt as they prepare to get married this coming Saturday. We pray that you would not only prepare them for that day, but you would prepare them for a lifetime together. And that their marriage would not only be an example of love, but your love in action. And through that, their commitment to each other, to the vows that they will exchange, people would see Jesus. Lord, we want to give you thanks that you are with us in all things. Lord, we want to continue to be with Carolyn as she continues to undergo treatments and the injections in her eyes. We pray, Lord, that as they continue to happen, that you would not only ease her spirit as they happen, oh God, but the needles would be effective and would be improving her sight, oh God. We want to continue to remember Ken and Maria. We remember Martin and Taya. We pray that you would continue to strengthen them and refresh them. And Lord, we want to remember that though we don't see them as often as we used to, they're still part of our family. And that you would refresh them and strengthen them this morning. We want to remember Howard and Lois. We want to give you thanks for the healing that Lois is experiencing. And Lord, as visiting her this week, to hear the words, "I'm looking forward to very soon celebrating my 90th birthday." We just pray that you would continue to refresh her and strengthen her and Howard together. That you would continue to give them all that they stand in need of. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God of comfort. And Lord, we thank you for that comfort which you have given to the Stratsmiths in the passing of Marjorie's mom. And as we read that thank you note, Lord, we just give you thanks for those stories of faith. And soon as we prepare to leave this place, we pray that you would help us to run well this week. That together we would commit ourselves to seeking God. Not only us, but for us and our household. And that by your grace and your spirit, we can pick up and we can run again. And that our story would be a witness to somebody this week. In your name we pray. Amen.